Welcome back. It is now hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide. Because in a world so full of chaos and madness and corrupt scumbaggery that wear capes like Batman that sit in the judiciary, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. And my very special guest is from thecrowhouse.com, the fabulous Max Egan. Who I really appreciate your perspective on this as well, man, because over the weekend when we filmed this protest and did all these videos and stayed up late and accomplished really a lot. In fact, I believe I made a Facebook post just chronicling what I did in one 24-hour period. And it was a long, long post, man. It was freaking ridiculous. And I was just like, let me lay it down like this. I reckon Thomas Sheridan was right when he said I probably have a form of benign narcissism, you know, much like Muhammad Ali or Bruce Lee, meaning I believe that I'm great, the best, in fact, not because I'm delusional or egotistical, but because I really am. You know, case in point, that day alone, after only 4 hours sleep the night previous, I did a radio show where I poured out my emotions about the jailing of court watchdog Vince Seamer from kiwisfirst.co.nz. I recorded, edited, and uploaded it to my website. And the United We Strike crew were kind enough to play my interview with Vince I recorded earlier on their website. And while I went to, and that was just while I went to the protest to support Vince, and I used the donated cameras and megaphone to make no less than 10 short videos comprising the bulk of the footage, some of which was donated by a lovely woman named Shannon. Thank you for that, Shannon. With topics ranging from police and judicial corruption to the family court and the destruction of the rule of law in this country. And that's delivered in 100-watt tripod mounted wirelessly amplified and recorded sound right into a corrupt Judge Winkleman's home. Complete scumbaggery and a total out of control judiciary that gets away with it? Not on my fracking watch. I hooked up one of my listeners, Barry, who is a PA system guru, to do sound for the Fluoride Action Network's 2 Auckland events this week, out west and in central, which I will also show up and film at. Why? Because Hamilton, who just removed fluoride, Whakatane and Hastings, who also removed it, are now having a referenda for fluoride in the hopes that the dumbed-down general populace will support this madness as opposed to a few councillors reviewing the evidence presented by the dentists and doctors who spoke for the Fluoride Action Network New Zealand. All the more reason to push hard, now more than ever. They're running scared, and I think the brainwashed masses will be dumb enough to get their agenda through for them. Not on my fracking watch. Then Ian R. Crane contacted me about his new lecture about arguably the issue on Earth today, fracking. And so I asked him if I could help promote it by downloading it from YouTube and upload it to my channel. It was an honour to help such a respected researcher get access to the subscriber base that I've built up over the years. You know? Oil companies trying to commit genocide? Not on my fracking watch. I also stayed up to edit the video for my Friday show with Paul Waddell, who's one of only 3 people in the whole country that's qualified to test for EMF and EMR radiation sources. An incredibly lovely guy with a depth of knowledge on the subject without parallel. And with 2 camera angles, awesome slides on the giant TV behind us, incidentally the source of 90% of the radiation in my office during showtime, this 90-minute virtual documentary was cut together in 4.5 hours, and in my opinion is the finest show I've ever done, with the quality of video, audio, visuals, and info to rival any TV news program in the world for watchability. And I know for a fact that this information will save lives. Anyone want their kids developing allergies, ADHD symptoms, and like all adults going sterile and getting cancer? Not on my fracking watch. Now, as a filmmaker, radio talk host with a number of abilities, I'm able to help these decent, honourable, diligent, intelligent, admirable people in a real, meaningful way without them paying me a dime because they couldn't afford it anyway. And those who sacrifice of themselves so that my nation, my people, and in the world itself might be free, healthy, and independent, should they be left to fade silently into the night because nobody stood up for them? Not on my fracking watch. It was like 5:30 in the morning while I was typing this out. And I think it was like eight. I think it was like about 8 o'clock in the morning by the time I finished it. I accomplished more in a day than most filmmakers do in a year, and then some. Why? Because I've got the ability to help others. If one has the ability, then one has a responsibility. But most important of all, I'm done letting people down. Over the last week, I've seen my activist friends jailed, shot at, set up, bankrupted, evicted, sabotaged, demonized, insulted, and defamed. Witnessed people give them abuse, doubt, ridicule, and cruelty. Well, you guessed it. Not on my fracking watch. Well, you never guess the next part of this egotistical rant. Everything I achieved just in that one day, and every day, is the direct result of the good things others have done for me. The donations, subscriptions, equipment, my rent, food, water, even the very clothes on my back. All of this has been given to me by those who recognize that indeed, I am a fracking legend. I am a good man, and I am worth investing in. Your faith is well placed, and I trust your judgment. So if I ever, and I mean ever, get egotistical and it's not an accurate reflection of my ability to help others in their time of need, please pull me up on it. Tell me I've gone overboard. I'll listen, I'll learn, and I will improve myself so that I might better serve humanity and stay on target. I love you all so very much for the massive level of support you've collectively and individually shown me. Keep it coming. I give you my word. I won't let you down. Go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, ladies and gentlemen, and donate today. Set up a subscription, $5 a month, right into the bank account. And if you can't figure that one out, use the PayPal with your credit card. Okay? I'm very much worth it. I'm just trying to help people, and I actually am succeeding in doing it. And I have a level of dedication that is very hard to find. Thank you. Sorry to take up so much of the time of the show with you, Max, talking about myself and what have you, but yeah, it just needs to be said sometimes.
No, that's all good, Vinny. I mean, I love what you do, brother. It's really good that you're out there doing it, man. You're out there on the front line with the megaphone. You're yelling at judges' houses. I mean, you know, you're out there putting yourself on the line. And as you say, I mean, it's troubling times. You've got people that are virtually disappearing off the street all around you. So, you know, we do need help and support in what we do. I mean, I need help and support in what I do as well. I mean, I'm only able to do what I do because people do help. People do make donations, you know. Few and far between sometimes, but they do make them, you know. And when they do, it helps. It really does. Every cent helps. I couldn't do what I do without the donations. So, no, good on you, mate. It's good to... It's good that you've got the dedication. We need more people like you.
Well, especially when you're staying up to 8 o'clock in the morning to get your work that you're not paid for finished. You know, and I don't think people get that. You know, like I was at a protest once, Max, and we were advertising. We were trying to promote the protest against the sale of state assets, right? You know, they're selling off all our power companies and everything to multinationals who are just going to, you know, let the grid go haywire as they always do, and up the price up for everybody while they reduce the quality. It happens every time. And this guy comes up to me and says, "Why don't you go get a job?" Okay, let me just see if I can review that statement. Why don't I go get a job? Okay, first of all, why would I want to go get a job? So I can be a slave like you? Secondly, I already have a job. It's called exposing scumbaggery and protecting my country. And it's a full-time job. Okay? Yeah, why would I want to get a job like you? How many hours a week do you work, mate? You work your 40 hours a week, then you go home, and you spend your slave money on your slave beer, and you hang out with your slave friends in the slave bar, right? I do something with my spare time that actually helps humanity. You're only helping yourself to more drinks, you scumbag. Shut the frack up. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't even know who you are. You don't even know what you're even capable of. I do. And that's why you tell me to go get a job, because I'm making you look bad, you pathetic piece of... You know?
Yeah, well, to a point, but again, it's programmed. He's programmed to be that way. That's the thing. People are programmed. Now, I've often said, you know, look, we've got to learn to forgive people and forgive ourselves, because nobody has been given an even playing field. Nobody who's out there in their programmed reality working in the slavery system has been given an even playing field. They've never had an ability to be able to even be in a position where they might begin to comprehend what reality is. They grew up in a programmed family doing programmed responses. They went to school and they got programmed to respect authority. They went out into the world. They got told that it's a cutthroat place and you got to claw your way to the top, and life is about the one with the most wins. And if you're in a state of hardship, well, it's those dole bludgers that are spending your tax money. That's what it's all about. It's all their fault. So this is programmed. People are programmed to be this way. You know, what we've got to do is show them there's a better way. You know, and yeah, say, I mean, look, sure, I do have a job, mate. My job is protecting this country, and it's a full-time job. And I work 80, 90 hours a week at my job. And I probably get less pay than you, but I bet I get a lot more job satisfaction. And perhaps you need to think about that a little bit. And by the way, here's a business card. Go check out my website. You might learn something. You know, he might just attack you for that, but maybe he'll also respect you because of the respect that you showed for him. Because he's programmed. He's a drone, sure. He's a sheeple. He's whatever. But he's programmed to be that way. And it's the same in all of our societies, brother. They're all programmed, you know.
I'd like to make this point, that if it is possible to program somebody, surely it's possible to deprogram them.
Well, that's exactly what we're doing with these shows. This is why I present the films the way I do when I make them. I mean, TV and films is what's been used to program people, but that's where they are. So we use that same medium to deprogram them. That's what I do with the radio show. That's why I speak in such a calm, rational, common sense way all the time, just in an attempt to calmly, politely, rationally explain to people that life may not be exactly the way they were taught to believe. And it is. It's all deprogramming, and that's what we're doing, brother. That's what you're doing, and that's what we're all doing.
Well, you've got to use the weapons of the enemy against them. And also, emotions, and this is what I do respect about your work so much, Max, is that you do it in such a calm, rational way. And it contrasts on occasion with the thing that I do, you know, yelling, screaming through megaphones and things of that nature. But I believe we need both, because occasionally rationality is not enough to wake people up. Sometimes they need to feel the emotions and the rage in order to shake them out of their slumber. So we're basically coming at them with a pincher attack here. We're using their emotions and their logic against them so that they will wake up and deprogram themselves.
Well, absolutely. It's got to be done from all angles. Everybody's got a different perspective, and everyone's got a different way of approaching the problem. As long as when you're presenting problems to people, you're at least going down the path towards solution. And that's what you do. It doesn't matter if you're yelling to do it. You're still doing it. And you're happy to yell someone into wakefulness, but that doesn't mean you're disrespecting them. You know, it doesn't mean I hate you. I might be yelling at you to wake up, but it doesn't mean I hate you. You know, and it's okay. I mean, it's okay to do that. We all have our own way of doing it. And look, I'm plenty angry too, brother. If I wasn't angry, I wouldn't do what I do. I wouldn't sit here and dedicate my life and my time to trying to calmly tell people, could they possibly wake up now, please? It might be time to pay attention, you know. I mean, if I wasn't incredibly angry, I couldn't do this. I just channel my anger into that. And for me, it's almost like a form of meditation. It's very calming. But it is a full-time job. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that. I mean, even I get messages saying, you know, congratulations for the team at the Crow House for doing such a great job, you know.
They go, what, well, the Crow team? House,
yeah, it's a one-man show, you know. All of the films I've made, all of the radio shows, the animation for the shows, the website, every pixel on that website I made myself. I mean, the whole lot is it's all a one-man show. You know, I had someone do a little bit of animation for me for the last film. Only a small section, but the rest of it, it's all a one man thing, the whole lot. So, you know, it's, I just believe that we can make a difference here if we participate. You know, people are sitting there watching. It's like the audience watching the spy novel of this corrupt reality. And they're just going, wow, isn't the world messed up? But there's, isn't it great that we've got people out on the front line like Vinny and Max that are doing this sort of stuff for us? And they're just watching. And what I keep saying is that what we need, you know, people need to understand that it's now audience participation time. We need audience participation. You know, you just got to get involved. If you get involved in this reality, get involved in your life, get involved in the people around you, get involved in reality. Because what they're giving you isn't reality. You don't have to be a slave. You don't have to pay to be alive. Somebody just made the whole thing up. And we just gone along with it. And all this stuff, it's like you say, we wrote it down. You've got to do this because we made it up. We made the whole thing up. All of it, all this legal stuff, we made it all up. Look, we made it up. We wrote it down. Because we wrote it down, it's got a little gold letterhead. Now you've got to do this stuff. Well, really? How does that work? You know, aren't you just flesh and blood like me? Don't you get your power from me because we elected you into a position of trust to manage our society for us? And now you're using that trust to take away my rights and to abuse my friends, to enslave me to a corrupt money system and to steal all my wealth. I would suggest that you're in breach of trust. And once the whole community realizes this, I mean, look, I'm not saying we don't need government because we've got a situation where people can't really look after themselves. They don't have the life skills that they should have anymore. And it's going to take us a little while to get that back.
I think that's because the government instituted public education and stopped people educating themselves on how to take care of themselves.
Well, of course. It's all part of the plan, absolutely. But that's where we are.
Because we had the government make us dependent
exactly.
on it.
We need the government because we had the government. Exactly. I mean, they've done very well. It's very clever. And we've got to realize, okay, well, that's how it happened, but that's where we are right now. So we need some form of governance to get us back to where we should be. But we need to step up now and demand transparency in our government, because if we don't get it now, we're not going to get it. With things like what's going on with this case that you're protesting about, as I said, this is setting a precedent. And this is showing what happens to people who question authority and who point out criminal activity within positions of authority. And it's setting a very, very dangerous precedent. So we need to pay attention.
Yeah. Wake up, New Zealand. Wake the frack up. Time is short. Your people and your country need you, and need you now to get off your ass and do something about it. You listen to The Vinnie Eastwood Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to The Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest, honourable and decent man, patriotic, philosophical, somewhat fabulous, Max Egan from thecrowhouse.com is my guest. And we were talking over the break about fatherhood, parenting, you know, that kind of thing. And you've had it quite rough, Max. You know, like I didn't know.
Well, I had a bit of a rough childhood, but it's something that I don't really go on to on air. So I'll nip that in the bud now before we get into it.
It was
a pretty rough childhood, but yeah, in a way, it showed me things very quickly from a very young age, and it gave me the perspective that I've got. I mean, I had a lot of bad things in my life. A lot of my life was like a train wreck through my childhood and my teenage years. But really, when I look back on it, I treasure every moment, even all the bad stuff, because it gave me the perspective that I've got now. And it gave me the ability to be able to view the world from a lot of different perspectives. And I can look at people in bad situations and I can identify with them because I've been in that situation. It isn't just sympathy. It's real empathy. It's really knowing what they're feeling and knowing feels to be in that situation. And so, yeah, I mean, I treasure it all. It made me who I am now and it gave me the outlook that I've got now. And it's given me the ability to do what I do now. Now, all of it's led me to this point, and it's all happened for a reason.
Well, I think it's like when you feel that injustice has been done upon you, and it's been done so unequivocally, you know, like you can't in any way rationalize it and say, oh, it's okay because of such and such. It does motivate you in a permanent way to bring about a better society, I think. Similar to what happened to you, you know, earlier on in your life, you know, going through real harsh times, and you're grateful for it because it turned you into who you are. You know, that reminded me of is when I first got arrested for selling cannabis as a student. You know, I got caught with 13 grams of cannabis rolled up in tinfoil, and I was going to go to jail for up to 8 years for that. And I confessed everything to the police, and they wrote it all down, and then they still made up evidence. And I was just like, oh, my God. And I'm going to court, and the person, two people in front of me, one guy has just come out of a heroin addiction clinic, so broke that he can't even afford a jar of Craig's Jam. So he steals it from the local BP, and the BP prosecutes him. And the judge orders him to repay reparations to the BP service station of $4.20 to replace the jar of Craig's Jam. And the next guy comes up. He's up for assault, sexual assault, resisting arrest, growing cannabis plants. He gets 150 hours community service. I go up, 13 grams of cannabis, and I get 300 hours community service. Explain that one to me.
Well, like you said, mate, justice is something that we made up. And, you know, there is no justice within the parameters of the system. It just depends on what sort of a mood the judge is in. You know, that's what it's all about. I mean, there's no justice within any of that system. And really, when you look at it, I mean, people basically, it's almost like the crime of being poor, you know. And as for cannabis use, I mean, what right does anybody have to say that we can't use a plant? I mean, this is something that's been mankind's companion plant for centuries, you know, thousands and thousands of years. When it was in widespread use, we had no real diseases. We've got cannabinoid receptors in every single organ of our body. And, you know, most medicines used to be based on cannabinoids as well. It's a plant that's never killed anybody in over 5,000 years of recorded use, and yet it's classed as a dangerous drug.
10,000 years recorded use, actually.
Well, there you go, you know, and we're told that this plant, it's a plant that would replace most of the most profitable and most pollutive industries on the planet as well. You can get high-quality plastics, high-quality building materials. We can get biofuel, best-quality paper, best-quality materials. It treats...
Concrete.
Well, it treats all sorts of things. Treats glaucoma, treats all sorts of diseases. You know, like the compounds have been scientifically proven. Well, yeah, they've just been scientifically proven to cure all sorts of diseases like epilepsy, glaucoma, osteoporosis, schizophrenia. I think cardiovascular disorders, neurodegenerative disorders, Parkinson's disease, Huntington's disease, Tourette's syndrome, Alzheimer's, all of these things. And yet it's completely disregarded by the medical community, and we're told that it must remain illegal for our safety. It's in our best interest that we do not use this plant. And really, it's been mankind's companion plant for years. Rick Simpson, I mean, I've spent some time with Rick in Croatia. We're actually good friends. And Rick, his theory is that the reason the world is in the situation that it's in, the reason we have all these psychopaths in control, and the reason people are so messed up that they would come up to you and tell you to get a job when you're out there protecting the country, is because the whole world is cannabinoid deficient. That's what he says. We have cannabinoid receptors in every cell in our body, every organ in our body, and yet we receive no cannabinoids. These receptors are there, and if we had these cannabinoids in our system, the world simply wouldn't be as stressed out and messed up as it is. And that's his theory. We're all cannabinoid deficient.
Yeah, absolutely right. And when I think about the injustice of it, you know, having personally gone through it, it's a massive, massive motivation. You know, that's how I actually first got into activism, was cannabis activism. And then I started realizing after about a year or two that, oh my God, this isn't the only thing that's wrong with society. I must do more. I must cover more. And before I know it, I'm covering hundreds of subjects, thousands even, because there's hundreds and thousands of things that are wrong with society.
Well, there is. That's why people need to pay attention. That's what we were saying before the break. People have to pay attention. We need audience participation. You know, if people just respect themselves and realize that things like cannabis, this plant can heal you of cancer. It can heal you of degenerative disorders. It can heal you of all sorts of terminal diseases and terminal illness and very, very dangerous conditions. It can heal you of all these things, but you don't use it because the government wrote this rule on a piece of paper. They made up the fact. They said, oh, look, we've made up this new idea that you can't use this anymore. So now you can't use it. So therefore, you're going to have to die. And while you're dying, we'll feed you all these chemicals so that we can profit from you while you're dying. So we can take any wealth that you may have accumulated so you don't get to pass it on to your kids. We'll take all that from you for cancer treatment. And then once you've given us all your wealth, well, we'll just let you die anyway because the cancer treatment's going to kill you even if the cancer doesn't. But this gives us the mechanism by which to extract all the wealth you've accumulated during your life in your older years. Because when you get older, you're going to develop cancer through all the toxins and chemicals we've put into your environment. So this is what they've done. And you're not allowed to cure yourself of these terminal illnesses because they wrote these rules on a piece of paper. I say they're in breach of trust. I say they're a bunch of criminals. And the only way we're ever going to be able to fix this situation is when people wake up to themselves and decide to stand up and pay attention. Now, we could fix the world in 3 seconds if people simply change their perspective of who and what they are. You know, change their perspective of the power that they've got and realize that these politicians are simply public trustees that we elected to do exactly the opposite of what they're doing. And they're getting away with it because people just aren't paying attention. You know, and again, look, you can say this and you can get incredibly frustrated and angry about it, but ultimately they're programmed not to pay attention. And whenever they do start paying a little bit of attention and things get a little bit more obvious, well, all the prices of everything goes up. So people are forced to run faster on the treadmill so they just don't get time to stop and slow down and look around them and actually notice what's going on. So, you know, it's a tricky situation that we're in. And we're up against a lot. But like I said, the more negative they make it and the more they bring in, then the more people are waking up. And that's why we need people like you and people like me, that when people do awaken to these problems, they can see that there are solutions to these problems. You know, we've got to be presenting solutions. And I believe all the solutions come down to yourself. They come down to self-empowerment. Once you know who and what you are, you know that you have the ability to stand up to these people because they're just people and all the rules are just fiction. The whole thing, we made the whole thing up.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, in fact, there's a lesson in there, because if you don't want to live in that system, if you don't want to participate in the corruption, guess what? You've got that same ability that they do to just make it up as you go along. How do you think I became a radio show host? How do you think I started making films? How do you think I started exposing scumbaggery? Wasn't because somebody helped me. Wasn't because somebody told me. It was because I just was making it up as I go along. And I still am. That's why it works so well.
Exactly. I mean, me too. I never planned on doing any of this. It was sort of all dropped in my lap. And I don't know what every show is going to be about before I start the show. I just start talking and it comes out the way it does. You know, I don't plan any of this sort of stuff. It just sort of comes out. So, yeah, you can make it up as well. Like I said, they keep trying all this stuff, and we keep changing the playing field. We keep moving the goalposts. They will never keep human consciousness down. We're too creative. We're capable of so much. And, you know, it's like, you know, the system has to collapse, and the more they try to lock it down, the more it's going to collapse because the more it exposes itself. I mean, people now are talking about the stuff that we're talking about, and people you wouldn't expect to be talking about are going, yeah, there's some serious things wrong here. Yeah, the government's corrupt, and you know, people are starting to talk about it in the supermarket, and just average, everyday people that you wouldn't expect to be looking at these things are now looking at them because the government is trying so hard to lock people down and to keep a lid on this whole thing, you know, but it's not working. It has to come undone. And what we've got to do, though, is we've got to have something in place so that when it does come undone, we know what sort of a path and what sort of a method we're going to take, you know. Because, like, we're seeing, like, all these massive protests we're seeing, even in Egypt and Brazil and everywhere, there's people know there's a problem and they're getting out in the street and they're marching and they really want change, but they don't really know what they want. They just know everything's messed up and they want something different, but they don't know what it is.
Hey, that's step one, is realizing you've got a problem, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It is. It's a big part of it, and it's great to see people doing this. And even with what they've done in Egypt, I mean, like, I really believe that the whole Arab Spring, I think this was all contrived. I really do. I think it was all about putting in a new puppet. I think as much as in Egypt, like, for example, as much as Morsi appeared to be part of the Muslim Brotherhood and it was all Islam and all this sort of stuff, it wasn't really. I mean, he was a servant of
CIA.
Israel. Well, he's a servant of Israel and he's a servant of Western interests. Now, everyone thought he was going to open up the borders into Gaza, and he didn't. He closed all the tunnels. it's almost impossible to get into Gaza now while Morsi has been in power, you know. And so he's really done the wrong thing. And this is, again, being presented to the world as this, you know, oh, no, look, they're overthrowing this Islamist and this yeah, Muslim Brotherhood, elected Democrat, you know, this whole thing. They're saying, oh, yeah, and the people don't want democracy and they don't want Islamism and all this sort of stuff. So the media are trying to play it while they put in a new puppet. But they played a very dangerous game because Israel, I mean, Egypt has been under a dictatorship for a long, long time.
Oh, yeah.
And now, through the Arab Spring, they got Morsi and they thought, well, maybe this is going to be changed. But now that didn't happen. They saw they were being deceived. Gaza borders are being closed. The Palestinians are still in the state they're in. This guy isn't helping his Arab brothers. So they overthrew him. And there were millions, literally millions of people on the street. And now the people of Egypt, who have lived in a repressive dictatorial regime for a long, long time, they now believe that they can bring about change through the weight of numbers. And if they put a new puppet in now, it's not going to be long before these people say, hey, we did it before, we can do it again. And it's really put this spark of power in the hands of the people. So if their intention in putting these puppet governments in was to make it look like there was a revolution, well, they've played a very dangerous game because they put that spark of revolution into the hearts of the people now. And I don't think there's any looking back from this point. I think it's just going to get, we're going to see this happen more and more around the globe. We're seeing it in Brazil. We're seeing it in Turkey. We're seeing it in Egypt. You know, we've got Italy and Greece. Everywhere's been going off. I just wonder how long it'll take to get to our countries.
You know, it's easy to get frustrated and depressed. And one of my guests the other week, Luke McKee, he's been exposing sort of like elements within the gay community that are getting away with child abuse and things like that. And another friend of mine told me, well, they're not the only people that commit pedophilia, are they, Vinny? And it was like, well, of course they're not. There's plenty of it going on in many sections of society, but these people are capable of calling you a homophobe if you expose them for child abuse. You know? And he's like, whoa, that's very interesting. And I was like, exactly. Okay? It had nothing to do with being gay. It has to do with being a child abuser. Okay? I've got three gay friends. Love them to death. They're classic. And they have big hearts, a good conscience, and they expose scumbaggery for a living. You know? Who's homophobic? You know? And what frustrated me, and this is the advice that I gave to Luke, because I saw him arguing with these people who don't see through that veil, okay? And, you know, when you try to argue with somebody who can't argue, the argument goes on forever and doesn't go anywhere. And Luke was getting incredibly frustrated and wondering, when are people going to wake up? How much do I have to say to them? And I was just saying, bro, stop doing that, okay? You're banging your head against a brick wall. All you're doing is frustrating yourself because you're wasting your own time trying to wake up somebody who refuses to wake up, okay? Don't try and get people out of bed if they don't want to get out of bed. You know, you can say whatever you want to them, but they still won't do it. Don't
You've got to nip arguments like that in the bud. I mean, you can tell if you're making a point about something and you need to make a couple of points on the way to getting there, in order to set up the scenario for what you're actually trying to say, if the person that you're talking to comes in and starts interjecting with all of these points along the way before you've even said what you're going to say, then the person that you're talking to has a predetermined belief and he has already got a predetermined response. He's already made his mind up before he has even heard what you're going to say. Otherwise, he would not be interjecting, so the argument is pointless. Walk away.
Indeed. And one of these guys he was arguing with actually said before he started talking, I'm not here to debate. I'm just here to call you a homophobe. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the final segment here with Max Egan, and we were talking about religion over the break, and it was actually quite a very interesting discussion there, Max. I mean, we were thinking about having, say, Dr. Kevin Barrett, John Lash and maybe Lindsay Williams, you know, Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, on the show together to have a discussion about religion. And I predicted that they'd all agree on pretty much everything except which book to read at night. And it's because they're the rare people within those religious fear-based mind control systems that actually truly follow the words of, say, Muhammad or Jesus, whether or not you believe he exists. The lessons are still there nonetheless. And it's quite a rarity for those people to come out and resist all of these controlling paradigms within religion and actually come out and fight evil, expose scumbaggery, and serve humanity. And they're very...
Well, it is, you know. Well, it is, but you know, I just don't agree with religions myself, but I wouldn't put John Lash in a Buddhist category. I think John is actually against all monotheistic religions, and he would be more of a Gnostic than anything.
Oh, yeah, my bad.
But, I mean, it's interesting. Most people don't follow the actual teachings of the doctrine. Most people just follow the lifestyle prescribed by the church, really. I mean, that's what you see with Christianity. Christianity is amazingly divided. I mean, even within Christianity itself, you've got all these different denominations, hundreds of different denominations, all who believe that their way is the only way. So what's that all about? I mean, I'm sure wasn't there supposed to just be about the teachings of Christ? Wasn't that what it was all about? What's all the rest? All the rest of it is really just noise, you know? So I think that's what people need to pay attention to. And I see very few people within any religious faith who actually follow the teachings of the teacher. You know, they really mostly just follow the church. And a lot of it's a cop-out as well. They believe they can just do all this stuff, and as long as they go and pray, it's all okay. They're going to be looked after, you know.
You know, I mean, if you're gonna follow somebody, don't just follow them. Take the lead, you know, and do what they would have done. That's my perspective anyway. And I have a look at how I live my life and what I do, and then you have a look at the teachings of Jesus Christ, and I'm kind of like right in line with them, even though I'm not a Christian, even though I haven't even read the Bible, you know. And it's just being a good cat, really. At the end of the day, what do you got to lose?
Well, it's like I say, service to creation. That's really the way to live your life. Service to creation, which is service to all. Service to all life. Service to all of reality, you know, but not at the expense of yourself. But again, don't serve yourself at the expense of others. You know, I don't put myself before other people, but I don't put them before me. I view myself as equal to everybody. And I respect myself. You know, I respect the fact that I've made mistakes. I respect, like I was saying earlier on, my life was a train wreck through my teenage years, and I had a terrible childhood. I went off the rails. I did all sorts of stuff. I mean, the kids do this stuff. You're stuck within the parameters of this psychopathic system whereby you've got to pay to be alive. The only way you can do that is to go and work for someone else or to exploit people around you. And if you don't make it work, well, you get discarded and thrown on the trash heap. So a lot of people go off the rails, they end up a train wreck. And I'm able to look at that and say, well, that's okay that I did that because it made me who I am. And I wasn't given an even playing field anyway. So it's what I did with that information. Did I go right down that path and become a sociopath or a psychopath or a killer or a rapist or a murderer or whatever? No, I didn't. I became who I am now, and I respect that. I respect that person. I respect who I am, and I respect the fact that I did make mistakes and I learnt by those mistakes. So you've got to have that respect for yourself. And when you do that and you really forgive yourself for what you've done and you forgive yourself of your mistakes and you realize that you never had an even playing field, then you can see that nobody has. And so it's easy to forgive other people and see why society is in the condition that it's in. Yeah, and there's your remedy right there. It's in respect for yourself. If you truly respect yourself and truly respect the mistakes you made, then respect for others comes by default. It really does. It's that simple to change your perspective inside. They always say if you change the inner world, you change the outer world, and it's true. You just have to apply yourself to it. And that's been the message of mine since like day one, 6 years ago when I started the show. Just change your perspective of reality, and it'll change around you. you know.
Yeah, and what was funny is, like, I think we were having a private conversation once, Max, and you were talking about how you wanted to get your radio shows transcribed and turned into books, and then one day when you're not on this plane anymore, they'll turn into some great, you know, philosophical archive, like the Max Egan Dead Sea Scrolls or something like that, which people will follow for generations to come, you know.
No, I never said that, but I think that, that what I was saying is that when you die, when you're just doing what we do and you're speaking in a philosophical way, the way like I do on the show, when you are bringing a message that empowers humanity, and while you're alive, you're just a conspiracy theorist or a rebel or a whatever, you know, but when you die, your words become philosophy. And that's what I'd like to do. I'd like to put the book, the words down in a book so that it's there. So that maybe if I do get reincarnated one time, well, I think I would naturally get attracted to those works and I'll be able to read that. And I've left all these breadcrumbs for people who come after me. I've left all these breadcrumbs for myself to find as well. It's like a trail of breadcrumbs to find out who you are. You know, I think that's a lot of what we're here for. It's to leave the breadcrumbs for those who come next. It's to leave a legacy behind. And that's what I hope that I've done is left that trail of breadcrumbs for those who follow, who will see that there are better ways and easier ways of doing things, and to not to be down on yourself, and not to be thinking that, oh, I'm just a little guy and I've made all these mistakes, I'm just a mess up, I'm a screw up, I'll never be able to do anything right. No, you're beautiful, you're wonderful, and you're capable of wonderful things. The problem is that you were never given an even playing field. So you've got to forgive yourself of what you've done. Realize that you are a creature that learns by making mistakes. That's what we are. We have this incredible ability to make lots and lots of mistakes. You know, we just keep making them, you know, but that's how we learn. Without the mistakes, we don't learn anything. We're always so frightened of making mistakes. We're also always so frightened of screwing up. But if we don't screw up, we don't learn anything. We don't learn the right way. So you've got to forgive yourself of this stuff. And you've got to realize that it's all about your perspective. Don't be hard on yourself. You know, change reality around you. Leave a good legacy behind. And create a better future. That's what you're here to do. You know, you're here to help the human race discover itself. That's what we're all doing, and that's what I try to do. So that's what I'd like to see happen with my work. I'd like to write it all down in a book. I mean, there's a lot of people that don't listen to the radio, don't go online. It'd be good to put it all down in books and have this empowerment there for people, because, I mean, I love people like you. I just want to see mankind wake up. I don't like the direction human consciousness is going. I can see the prison that's being built around us. We're being removed of all diversity, all creative input in our own lives. We're being molded into this machine-like society. That's where we're going. And I've got kids. I've got grandkids that'll happen. I've got, you know, there's going to be people that come after me that are going to have to experience this reality that's being created around them simply due to the non-participation of our generation. And I don't want to be one of them. I want to be someone who participated, who really tried to make a difference, and who dedicated my life to making sure the world was left in a better state than how I found it. You know, I really think that's what it's about, and it provides me with the meaning I need, really, to be able to cope with this life. You know, if I didn't have some meaning in my life, if I was just out there working and collecting stuff, I just don't think I'd make it through. I don't think I'd make it through the machine. It's just too dysfunctional for me to want to participate in. And I think change can be brought about really easy if we just participate. Like you say, mate, a small group of people doesn't take much, doesn't take very many people at all. It just takes the right people saying the right things in the right way, and it can create a way that can take the planet by storm. It really can, and I think that's what's happening. I think it's an incredible time to be alive, man. It really is. Really, really pivotal time.
And I remember my father, he built this table, and it was outside his thing. And when I sat down on this table, I bumped my knee on it because he didn't construct it exactly properly, so that when I sit down, being tall, I bump my knees on it, kind of hurt. And he told me, yeah, well, I just knocked it together in a couple of hours. You know, it's a big table. It's like, wow. And and then he told me about his son-in-law who was building a table himself, and he's 8 months into the construction. It is just like, you know what's better than having a perfect table that never existed? a table right there that you could actually use, even if it ain't perfect. And it taught me this perspective of, hey, you know what? So many people stop themselves from actually accomplishing anything because they wait until they've got it perfect. And the fact of the matter is you can never, ever, 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 ever get anything finished if you want it to be perfect. So frack it. Don't even bother. That's... Just do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it depends on what you call perfect as well. I mean, your table works, so it's perfect, hey? The one that is still 8 months in construction is far from perfect because it's in pieces, no matter how good the pieces look, you know?
Yeah.
So your table's far more perfect, brother.
Yeah. I'd rather have an imperfect something than a perfect nothing.
Well, mate, that's what we're getting with this world, mate. We're going to have a perfect nothing if we don't pay attention. Like I said, audience participation, that's what we need. People just got to get involved in themselves, get involved in their lives, and start respecting themselves. Don't give in to the fiction. Don't put up with all these authority figures telling you what you have to do with your life and the way things have to be, because they're just public trustees. They're all in breach of trust. Exhibit A, the earth. Have a look at the place and then tell me that these governments have not done the wrong thing. Now, we can fix that if we choose to participate. You know, if we've got the weight of numbers, we can do anything. I mean, look what they've just done in Egypt. Now, if there was some sort of an organized direction that they wanted to go with that, that's all they would really need to bring about effective change. We just need to, you know, figure out what direction we want to go in. And like I said, we need government, but we need transparency in government. So hopefully we can move to a system where we don't need government at all.
Exactly. It's about transitioning from scumbaggery to integrity. Transitioning from blackness and darkness through to transparency. And you can do it one little step at a time, and it won't be perfect, but at least we'll have something to show for it. Max Egan, ladies and gentlemen, thecrowhouse.com. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again sometime.